8:33 the time, 27 minutes before 9 o'clock, and as we do each and every Thursday, we are fortunate to be able to speak with our mayor, who takes the time out of her day to come in and talk to us. Mayor Sue Kempf, welcome this morning. How are you?
Hi, Ed. Good morning.
Great to have you on. It's an absolutely perfect day here in Laguna Beach. Have you stepped outside yet?
No, I'm planning to walk the dog next.
All right. So good move.
That's my morning exercise. Yeah.
Good move. Yeah. The dog will not want to get back inside the house, and neither will you. It's absolutely that beautiful outside.
Well, he's coming back in, I'll tell you that.
Okay, please. A lot of things to talk about. I want to start with next week. We are interviewing and selecting board and committee members. They're going to be appointed. Some of them are incumbents. And my understanding is all elected officials, and they have to complete, and appointed officials have to complete ethics training, and they're supposed to do this within 6 months of being appointed. That's state law. But really, the state law has no teeth. But the council can give it teeth by not reappointing an incumbent, for instance, that hasn't completed the course. Would the council consider requiring board and committee members to complete this training before reappointment?
Well, this isn't anything we've taken up yet that I know of, at least in past councils. I don't know. As a council member, we have to take our ethics training. We do it. We have to do it reliably. And if we don't do it, we get reminded constantly to do it. So all the council members are always in compliance. In terms of ethics training for the boards and commissions, yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea because you're in the public. You're working for, working on the behalf of the public. And, we expect everybody to, follow the Brown Act and act appropriately according to the way we conduct our meetings. And, they're fairly, particularly Planning Commission and Design Review Board, they're very structured meetings. So, yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea. And, I'll broach this with the city manager and see what, her thoughts might be on it. So some additional tracking that will have to probably be done by the city clerk, but I don't see that as a problem. So, I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So last week, you and I spoke about the textile artist, Allison Allen, who had been notified by a member of the Community Art Project that her peaceful protest exhibit was being taken down from the Wells Fargo Gallery upstairs. And we went over you and I had the conversation of what she could possibly do here in the coming week. Have you heard anything? Have you been putting together people to put something together for her maybe to be able to exhibit her art? What do you know?
Well, I know some people, not council members, but I think some people in town have been working with the artists on finding another venue. Last I heard, they were going to go in the neighborhood congregational church, okay, which would be a nice place for that art to be displayed. It's just too bad it didn't work out. Without going into the whole Wells Fargo thing, it's just too bad it didn't work out. It's beautiful art. I've seen it all.
Right.
And, we're an inclusive community, so.
Right. And we'll say it again. You and I were talking about it's an inclusive art community. We pride ourselves on being an art colony, and art is supposed to start conversations.
Right. I mean, it's to me, art, music, and as a lot of things in life, we don't all like the same things. We don't all like the same kind of music. We don't like all the same kind of art. But, that's the world we live in. If you don't like a particular song, don't listen to it. And if you don't like a particular type of art, don't buy it or don't go view it.
Right. There you go. There you go. Staying kind of on the same track here, the entire month of February here at the radio station, we're celebrating Black History Month, not just through the music, but through the stories and through the culture and introducing our audience to the reason that we celebrate Black History Month in February. It was chosen as Black History Month primarily because the second week of the month coincides with the birthdays of both Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. The Emancipation Proclamation, though signed on January 1st in 1863, wasn't enacted until February 1st, thus kicking off February as the movement for Black History Month. A couple of weeks back at the council, Dr. Rebecca Washington Lindsay, who did the a cappella number, the council dedicated the We All Matter Ethnic Diversity Month, dedicated February as being the We All Matter Ethnic Diversity Month. And what do you say to those that say it's a watering down of Black History Month? It's actually the same as watering down Black Lives Matter with saying All Lives Matter.
Well, actually, the proclamation was Ethnic Diversity and Black History Month. So that was our proclamation. Okay. Rebecca Lindsay has an organization called We All Matter. And So that's her. She's a resident here, and that's her kind of organization to address, you know, what she sees as inequities, you know, in the culture, broadly in the culture, and in Laguna Beach. So that's her organization. But our actual designation was Ethnic Diversity and Black History Month.
Okay. Okay. And so the poster that was put out on the city's website of the staff holding the We All Matter Ethnic Diversity Month. Would it have been a little more inclusive to include the Black History Month somewhere in there?
Yeah, so we're going to take it down. What happened was, so Dr. Lindsay was kind enough to give us the banner, and you know her organization is called We All Matter and Ethnic Diversity, but we said, let's just redo the banner and make it consistent with what our proclamation was at the council.
Right. Okay, well, thank you.
She's going to bring us. Yeah, she's going to bring us a new banner.
We appreciate that. Thank you for answering that, Mayor. We know about the ballot initiative that's aimed at curbing development, and it got enough signatures to qualify for a vote. So now the city council has to decide whether to A, adopt the proposed city law, hold a special election, or consolidate with the June 7th primary election or the November 8th general election. Give us your thoughts on each of those and what might we be talking about on February 15th.
Right. So we have to, I think by law, we have a certain amount of time that we have to, once a ballot measure is submitted and we get the requisite signatures and they're validated, then we have to have, it has to come to council kind of for, I would call it more of an up or down vote. We either adopt it into law, that becomes part of our code, or we vote to put it on the ballot. So that'll be primarily the discussion. I don't know in terms of the timing. Most likely, I would say, if we were to vote for it to go on the ballot, it would probably be the November ballot. June is coming upon us very quick. That happening, I don't know. We'll have to see what the council has to say about that. But it's basically, in my view, an up or down. Either we take it and we adopt it, or we tell the voters, you know, vote on it the next election, probably November.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, a couple more items. And there's a correction that needs to be made, and I'm glad you're here for this. It was reported that the Laguna Beach Police Department had planned to scale back the lightly redacted daily call log. Sheree and Police Chief Jeff Calvert had made the decision to discontinue that routine practice. But there was a mistake in the reporting, you said.
Well, it's just not, it wasn't, you know, and I know, you know, in the print media these days, you know, it's kind of a one person or two person show. So, right. But yeah, we issued some technical corrections. My personal opinion, it wasn't very thoroughly researched. If you look in the Indy, I haven't looked at it, but I got sent the correction. It's fairly lengthy and good explanation in terms of why we're doing what we're doing. And so I think it would be good if the Indy kind of corrected their reporting. I don't know if that's going to happen, but just these things, you know, the way we do things in the city, when you're reporting on that, you need to make sure that you talk to all the right people. And I was asked for a comment on it, and I didn't comment because I wasn't quite sure about it. So, and it turns out we did have some issues, so that right. needs to be correct.
Right. And do you feel that had you commented on it, you would have been able to straighten it out back then when they asked you to comment on it?
No, because I didn't have all the details.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not going to, if I don't fully understand something.
Okay. All right. And who didn't they go to that they should have?
They should have gone to the city. First of all, they should have gone to the city manager, and the city manager should have directed them to the appropriate, you know, PD resource to talk to the people who are actually doing the work and why they're doing it.
All right. Well, thanks for straightening that out. Some important stuff with the Coastal Commission coming up on the 10th. Tell us about it.
So, right. So we have the historic preservation ordinance going before Coastal. This is an ordinance that we adopted a few years ago, the prior council, and it basically allows people to, if they want to remodel a home, I'll talk primarily about homes. If you want to remodel a home and it's older and you want to make it historic, you know, you can do so. And we provide you incentives like setbacks, waiving fees, better processing. And so in that way, if you want to restore your house and get the benefits, you're welcome to do that. If you don't want to, if you want to change the, you know, configuration of your house or the look of your house, then we're not going to require you to do so according to the ordinance. There are some protections in there. We call, you know, a home that is old, if it's designated historic resource, then their CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, can have some impact there. But we're mainly focusing on owner consent, and people are kind of, you know, people who are opposed to this are basically saying we're going to lose all of our old buildings in town. Well, we haven't lost any of our old buildings in town.
Right, right.
You know, we're restoring the, you know, the Coast Inn. We're going to, you know, restore the Hotel Laguna, all of our old buildings. I know this very well when I was on the Planning Commission, and, you know, when these older buildings come forward, we actually, and they're trying to do something other than restore the building, we ask them, by the way, your building has a metal awning in there that didn't used to be on it, and it's an old building. Can you take it down? So we actively work, you know, even though these aren't issues coming before us, we actively work, you know, as the city government to try to get, you know, our buildings to look as original as possible to the extent that we can. But just a quick background. So we had so many hearings on the historic preservation ordinance. I was on the Planning Commission when it was heard. The council chambers were packed. There were people out the door, and the reason for that is people's homes were put on this historic resource inventory in 1981 without anybody's permission. And so all of a sudden, when they went to remodel these homes, they found out their house was historic somehow and were never notified. So that that created quite an outrage, and people were really upset about that. We had all these meetings. We had council meetings, and also we had a kind of a task force. We had 11 people on that. And so we've done a lot of diligence. So this is finally coming before Coastal on the 10th. And I noted that Newport Beach has a similar historic ordinance, a voluntary historic ordinance, and it passed through Coastal. So I think, you know, the way ours is written and all the research we've done, all the work we've done in diligence and fleshing all this out, I think we have a good opportunity to pass this, and I think it will be good for our town.
Excellent, excellent. And yeah, we're all, the speed bump is always the sky is falling crowd. That's always the speed bump in anything.
Well, I mean, when people normally do this and just in, you know, when they're trying to make their point, they try to go to, you know, something they think is most impactful. It may be more impactful to one person than another. You know, that's kind of the nature of the way people look at things. But, you know, I heard this too when we did the view ordinance. The sky was falling, all the trees are going to be removed. You know, we got most of them trimmed up. So, you know, things are never, you know, as bad as people think they are. Because, you know, in general, when we look at things, we try to do it in a balanced way. And that's kind of our job as a council. So I don't think the sky is falling. I rarely do unless I think we're going to have a big, you know, big kind of a weather event or
right,
you know, a fire or something like that.
Right. Mayor Sue Kempf, as always, we certainly appreciate your time with us. I know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us this morning and giving us some honest answers to some honest questions. Enjoy your dog walk this morning.
Thank you, Ed. Fun as usual this morning.
Have a great day. Thank you very much. That's our Mayor Sue Kempf, 8:46 The Time.